I mentioned how important hospitality was. And I said that there's a whole book written concerning hospitality. And somebody asked me, well, what is that book? So I think I'll take the chance now and we'll go through that book today. That is the third book of John, almost at the end of the Bible. Third book of John. And I'm going to be speaking to what it talks about here, which is, I believe, the main subject is hospitality. And before that, let me read a few verses, because hospitality is actually very important in the Bible. In the New Testament, Christians are supposed to be hospitable. It is a recurring theme. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Romans 12, 13 says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. That's how we're supposed to be. Titus 1, verse 8, talking about being a bishop, says, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. We should be hospitable. We should be hospitable. Let's go ahead and bow to the word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, that we get to come here freely and meet in your name. We get to open the Bible, Lord, and we let it speak to us. And we ask that your Spirit would move freely among us today. Lord, I pray that you would give me clarity and ease to speak and to teach this morning. And the preacher after me, Lord, I just pray that you would give us the power of the Spirit behind the words that we speak, Lord, that you would work in everybody's hearts here, Lord. We ask that you would move freely, and we seek to do your will today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to start in the third epistle of John. It starts with saying, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So, here we have a book that's written by John. This is the Apostle John. Donnie, I'm going to ask you, I don't know if you can bring those down a little bit. I kind of hear myself. I don't know if y'all can hear me too loud, but I hear it. Thank you. Anyway, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. This is a very personal letter that he writes, John writes, to this man named Gaius. Now, John is an elderly man. He now is basically here. He's saying, you know, this is the old man, right? Writing unto Gaius, and this elderly John is obviously the last of the apostles. He's a very prominent figure, obviously, in the church, and he is writing a letter to Gaius, which is very personal to him. And this is very interesting, because you see kind of the progression of the books of John. In the book, the first epistle of John is very general. It's to, you know, just Christians throughout, you know, everywhere. Then the second book is a little more specific. It's to a specific family or a specific church. He calls it the elect lady and the sister of the elect lady. He's focused more on a specific church or a specific family. And then the third book of John, he gets really specific. And he goes in and details names and people. And, you know, he starts off with Gaius. So that's kind of an interesting progression in the book of John. And he says, the well-beloved Gaius. So we find out a couple things about this man, first of all. And first, we find out that he is well-beloved. He is a man that, it seems like, amongst the brethren, he is well-favored. People like this guy. People love this guy. He's well-beloved. And so John says to you, I'm writing this to you. This is his introduction. And obviously, as we see in letters in the New Testament, introductions always start off with who's writing them, right? This is the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. not like we normally write letters now where we write, hey, dear Gaius, this is the, you know, we talk about it. And then at the end of the letter, we write who it's from. They introduced themselves at the beginning, which makes it easier to know who the letter's from instead of reading the whole thing and then getting to the end, finding out who's writing it. He introduces himself right at the beginning. So he talks about Gaius, and he recognized that he is a well-beloved Gaius. And then he says, whom I love in the truth. So John speaks a lot about love, and John is this apostle, right? You could say the apostle of love. And he talks a lot about love, especially in 1 John. He talks about it in 2 John. He talks about it here. He talks about love a lot. And he shows how much he loves this man, Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now, that one word right there, in the truth, is an interesting, and it is very much a part of this book. He says, in the truth, and that word truth actually appears 6 or 7 times in this book, which means it's a very important part of the book, right? I mean, there's only 14 chapters, and he mentions truth many times. So I'm going to read the first 4 verses, and then we'll go from there. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So the beginning introduction, he introduces himself and what it's about. He actually says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. This is a great greeting. And this tells us a little bit more about Gaius. Gaius, obviously, he says, I know that you are in very good health spiritually. He was in a very well spiritual health. And his greeting comes saying that he wishes him to be healthy physically as he is spiritually. And that's a really good greeting. I think you're right. We like it when people have the best interest for us in mind, right? When people say, hey, I hope you're feeling well. And it's a good greeting. But I think this greeting is interesting because it actually makes you think a little bit. Because he says, hey, I hope you're doing as well physically as you're doing spiritually. And if somebody tells you that, you might stop and think, well, how well am I doing spiritually? hopefully I'm doing really well spiritually so that, you know, his desire for me to be as well physically is good also. So that's an interesting, I think, right there, interesting greeting and desire for this person. But he gets in very, very personal, and he talks about him, and he's very much like that. Now, this bond of love that he talks about here, and we're going to get into the hospitality part, is it's all centered around truth. He says in verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. So what happened is John receives some travelers, seems like evangelists, people that are going around spreading the gospel, and they come back and they give John some news about their traveling. And they're telling John, hey, Gaius received us, and he received us very well. He was very open. He was very, he took care of us. He was very much, and you know what? Gaius is full of truth. He's in the truth. He's living the truth. He loves the truth just like we do, right? John's ministry was all about truth. He wanted to get the truth out there. He wanted to expand the kingdom of God. He wanted to get Christ's name out. And so whenever he hears that this man Gaius was actually still fervent on fire about the truth, and he loved the truth, and he received those that were proclaiming the truth, it was a very good encouragement to him. He says, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, there's a lot of people in the church that are just there to cause problems. Amen. And we have one of those in this book. And it's very comforting, I think, for John whenever he hears, hey, there's a lot of trouble going on. There's a lot of problems in those churches. Just like Paul, you know, had a lot of problems in those churches. And he says there was a lot of weight. It was a heavy burden, those churches, with a lot of problems. But whenever you get news back from this one man and they say, hey, but this one man, Gaius, he actually is on fire for the Lord. He actually loves the truth. He's actually walking in the truth. Amen. That was an encouragement to John. I think it was such an encouragement to him that he was like, hey, I'm going to write this guy back. That's a pretty good thing. I mean, we have a complete personal letter from John the Apostle sent to this man Gaius and in the Bible. We have it today, reading it. That's pretty incredible. And I think it started off with how this news that this man was living in the truth and was fervent for the truth sparked some encouragement in John, even though aside from that, there could be a lot of things going on. He actually got encouragement when he tells him, I have no greater joy than to hear, right? To know that my children are walking in truth. And you know, you want to make a preacher happy? Just walk in truth. You want to make your parents happy? Just walk in truth. That's something that they would love to see. There's no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so, he received this and he says, they greatly, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walk in the truth. So what I'm trying to get at with the truth is that he makes a point of telling us that the truth is very important in this man's life. And the reason I'm saying that is because hospitality and love, the way I would define it is that hospitality is love and care that produces a provision of necessities and reception and attention to those you're caring for. This is love. This is what it's about. To receive somebody in your house and care for them, was much more common in this time than it is here in the U.S. right now. I think that's because, maybe back then there wasn't like a plethora of hotels that you could stay at. And so you needed somebody to lodge you, somebody to say, hey, you want to come stay with us, right? And so he says the saints are supposed to be willing to lodge, willing to take care of somebody that is in need. And there probably wasn't enough money to pay for a hotel if there was a hotel. And even today, maybe not in the U.S., but in other places around the world, hospitality is actually a big thing. Here in the U.S., it's really, we're just not accustomed to so much hospitality. I think because we're probably pretty rich. You know, we can just say, oh, well, hey, welcome. Let me give you, here's some money. Go stay at a hotel. We don't have to be hospitable. We don't have to keep them at our house. We can just send them off to a hotel. Oh, hey, you need to go to the airport. Here's some money. Take an Uber. You know, I mean, whenever you have money and you're rich, you can just kind of, lay aside those services with money, right? That's a way to do it. But for whatever reason, we just have kind of lost this sense of what hospitality means. Limited our concept of it. And think about how they were in the Bible. Then when Abraham lifts up his eyes and see those men, he runs after them and says, hey, stay here, stay with me, come in, eat, let me take care of you, let me wash your feet, let me wash your clothes, what do you need? I want to take care of you. I mean, this is hospitality, and this is something that believers should have. And at this moment, the home, the house, is where the church would be, right? not like separate buildings for the church. People were actually opening up their houses to have believers come and have meetings in their house, which means you have to be pretty hospitable to, you know, take people into your house every single week and come in and make a mess and do all those things. You have to be hospitable to be able to do that, right? Have meetings in your home. And so hospitality was a much maybe bigger thing that we probably aren't accustomed to doing a lot these days. But what he centers hospitality on and what he centers love on is the truth. That's why he's focused so much on concern, telling him, I've heard that you're in the truth. I hear that you walk in the truth. I hear that, and I love you in the truth. I mean, truth is very important in this relationship. Truth is very important. Because the bond of love and hospitality is found in truth. Okay? And he's going to get into what his hospitality was like. But just think about that. The bond of love and hospitality is found in truth. Second John, the second epistle of John, right before, the book before, he talks about not being hospitable to those that are not in truth. He's saying, hey, those that are false teachers, y'all need to not accept into your house. He says, don't even bid them Godspeed. Don't even say God bless you on your endeavors. Why? Because they're not in truth. The truth was very important. And if there was no truth, then he says, you don't need to be hospitable to them. So hospitality is a very interesting, very careful balance you have to have with hospitality. You don't want to be too open to just accept everybody and you know, but you don't want to be too closed off either. And so there is a balance to it, and this is kind of what the balance is. You see it in 2 John and you see it in 3 John, and there's a lot of balance that goes into hospitality. And one of his points in 2 John is, you don't be hospitable to those that are not following after truth. If they are not proclaiming Christ as the Savior, then they are not of Christ, and you should not have anything to do with them. And that was very strong. You read 2 John, it is quite strong. But that's why his focus here is about truth. You're walking in the truth. You love these men that are in the truth. He says in verse 5, behold, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. So he recognizes the love that he has towards both the brethren and strangers. He recognizes that this man, this Gaius, is a very hospitable man. And that's one of his encouragements back to him, right? Which I think is a good thing. If you receive an encouragement, why don't you try to give that encouragement right back, right? I mean, he was kind of probably thinking about all these problems. He received good word that Gaius is doing well. He's walking in the truth. He's taking care of us. You know, there's other people that are giving us problems, but this man loves the truth and is taking care of us. And so he actually takes the time to write to him and to encourage him and saying, hey, what you're doing is a good thing. And stay faithful at it. You're doing really well. It's a pretty nice thing to do. And so he gives him that encouragement, saying you're doing everything faithfully and what you're doing, and it's a good thing. What is he doing? Who is he being hospitable to? He says in verse 6, to brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a goodly, godly sort, thou shalt do well. You're doing really well. Keep it up, right? Be hospitable to these people. These men, they're brethren, maybe they're strangers, maybe you don't know them from Adam, but they come in and they're preaching the truth and they're serving Christ, and he says, hey, open up your arms, receive them, take care of them, and then send them on their way in a godly cert, in the manner that God would take care of them, you take care of them, and then send them on their way, keep them going, so that they can keep preaching the gospel. That's what the point is. And he says, you're doing good. You're doing really good. Now, verse 7 is kind of where I want to get into. That is because this is the reason why he's commending this man, Gaius. Because he is being hospitable, he is taking care of these men, because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Okay, so you have there that there's a reason why he was taking care of them. There's a reason why it was a good thing, and he commends them and he tells them to keep going. It's because their work, and it's because of their motive, and it's because of the opportunity that there was in taking care of these men. Think about it. Jesus tells us about men that receive rewards because they're taking care of other men's needs, right? If there's an evangelist, if there's a preacher, and you go and give him a cup of water, he's saying, hey, God is not going to forget that labor. God is not going to forget what you did, right? You're not going to go unrewarded. But these men, first of all, look at what their work was. Because for his name's sake, they went forth. There's a bond that's created between believers whenever believers are united in truth. When the goal of the believers is, let's get the truth out, this is what we live for, this is what our life is about, the truth, then there's a bond there. And he's saying, because of his work, their work is to expand the name of Christ, right? It's to get the kingdom of God and spread it. It's about the truth. And so what they're saying is, hey, if this is what they're doing, then it's worthy, it's a good thing for us to take care of them. This is what we understand of the gospel. We see it played out in Paul's life, in Acts, and in all his epistles, but this is the point. Hey, if somebody is working for the truth, if somebody's working for Christ's name's sake, then we should take a part in whatever we can and take care of them, help them out. If there's somebody that has a burning desire to preach the truth, then we need to get behind them and say, hey, there we go. What do you need? Let's go for it. That's why we emphasize that very much here in church. If somebody has a desire to go and preach the gospel, we're there. We're behind you. Let's do it. What do you need? Because this is what he tells us right here. He's saying, hey, you need to give them whatever they need because of their work's sake. What is it? Because for his name's sake, they went forth. They left their place. They left their things. They left to go for Christ's name's sake. And so we should be behind them, take care of them. Again, they didn't have the promise of how much their money they were going to have. They didn't have a promise that they were going to make it, you know, here and there. And so who was going to support them? Who was going to take care of them? Well, other brothers that see their work, that they're working for the truth, that love the truth, will be able to have that bond and take care of them. That's how it worked. And that's what John expected them to do. And that's why whenever he saw that this man was doing that precise thing, he's very encouraged to hear that. And he writes him a letter. You have taken care of them, and that's a good thing, because what they're doing is for his name's sake. He said they're doing it for his name's sake, right? They went forth in verse 7, and they were taking nothing of the Gentiles. They were taking nothing of the Gentiles. You know, Titus 1:10 says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. People, there are preachers that just take advantage. There's people that are trying to take advantage and just making money. And taking money. And that's all they're thinking about. And many warnings to those that are going to be preachers, to those that are going to be bishops, to those that are going to be in the ministry, many warnings about, hey, that cannot be your motivation. That should not be something you're looking for. You're not thinking about money. You're thinking about the people. Many times. And so what happens is there's people that are actually taking advantage of this, and they're subverting whole houses, they're hurting people because they want filthy lucre. And so when you find somebody that actually doesn't have that motivation, he's actually taking nothing from the Gentiles. He's actually going to preach to those people, and he's not taking anything from them, like Paul teaches us very clearly, like Paul's example was very clearly, I'm not take anything from y'all. Even if I have to work with my own hands, he says, I'm going to do it because I do not want to make the gospel of charge to any of you. Amen. And he says, what is he saying? He's saying, hey, this is a good thing to do when you see somebody with pure motivation that is preaching the truth, that is expanding the gospel, the kingdom, that is working in for his name's sake. Get behind him. Serve. Be hospitable to him. Take care of him. That's a great thing to do. Amen. And he's commending him for what he's doing, and he's encouraging him to keep going and keep doing it. He says in verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. You know, there's one other thing that is a really good cause to do that. It's a good thing to do. I mean, what else are you going to do? But what else could you get into than doing something for the Lord's name's sake? I mean, that's a great thing, right? The Lord's, they're doing it for the Lord's sake, for his name. I mean, hey, if you're a Christian, you should be wanting to help those people out, right? That's what he's saying. If they're preaching truth, if they're preaching Christ, if they're in Christ, hey, we need to back them. We need to be for them. We need to be hospitable to them. And if their motivation is pure and great, and they're not even taking anything from the Gentiles, man, hey, let's take care of them. But then he says, but also, you can be a fellow helper in the gospel. You can be a fellow helper in the truth, to the truth. Look at what it says in Philippians 4:15. I'll just read it. It says, now you Philippians, this is Paul talking because he did this. He would take nothing from those he was preaching to. And then the Philippians started blessing him with physical, you know, contribution. He says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And you read the book of Philippians, and this book is about being fellow helpers in the gospel. That's what the book is about. It's about being fellow helpers in the gospel with Paul. This is what the Philippians were. They heard Paul is in need. Paul needs money. Paul is out there preaching the gospel freely. Let's help him out. Let's send him some relief. And Paul says, boy, when y'all did that and y'all did that again and again, I desired to have a lot of fruit that would abound to your account because you've become a fellow helper with me in the gospel. And you know, that's a great reason to get behind somebody that's preaching the gospel, somebody that's preaching the truth, somebody that lives for the truth, and that's what they want to do, and that's what their desire is. Hey, let's get behind them and help them because we can become fellow helpers in their labors and we can also be rewarded with them. That's a great thing. And so I think it's a great thing when we have somebody that says, hey, you know what? I want to go and preach to some people that maybe have never heard the gospel before. And, you know, I'm going to leave my stuff here and I'm going to take myself and my family. We're going to go somewhere else. You know, that should be exciting. That's an exciting thing for us to be able to say, hey, there's somebody who wants to love the truth and work in the truth and work in the gospel. Let's get behind him and take care of him. What do you need? We're here for. Like I said, right now, maybe it's not so much. You know, hey, come stay in my warm bed. Let me, you know, you can have a bath and a nice shower over here. We don't maybe need that anymore, but how do we express that now? Maybe mostly monetarily. You know, these people that are preaching the gospel and they're giving their entire day to be able to go talk to people, you know, we can actually financially support them so that they actually do that and take that time. That's a great thing that we can be involved in. And that's a way to show our hospitality. And then, of course, when people are coming through here or visiting, when brethren are coming through and visiting, we can be hospitable. We should be. We should have a good manner of giving to others and taking care of others. It's that love and care that produces provision, that produces the necessities, everything they need. That's a servant. That's a servant way of living. Serviceable mindset, which is what we have to have, right? We're supposed to be like Christ, and He came to serve. And so that's why hospitality is a very important part of the Christian life, because we're to be like Christ, and that is serving one another. So he's commending this man, because he has been very hospitable to those that were preaching the gospel. They were going around preaching the gospel, and this man, Gaius, was very hospitable to them. Why? Because of the truth. Because he loved truth, he walked in truth, and he saw they walked in truth and taught truth, and so he had this real bond, and he was willing to take care of them. And so in the middle of this, he starts writing in verse 9, and he says, "Now I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." So this commendation to Gaius, because Gaius is very hospitable. He has seen that these men are in truth. He loves the truth. And so he takes care of them. He serves them in all that he can. And then he says, well, but there is problematic brother in that church. He says, "I wrote unto the church, but he," this is Diotrephes, "he loves the preeminence, and he does not receive us." You know, to me it's interesting that this man named Gaius is, like I said, spoken of in a very personal letter that was written by John. Very, very neat that he can say, wow, I had a whole letter written to me in the New Testament. That's pretty interesting. That's pretty amazing. But I think if you're Diotrephes, I don't know if this Diotrephes, if he, you know, repented. I don't know if we're going to see him in heaven. But I think if we do see him in heaven, he's going to be like the guy covering his name tag, you know. I don't want anybody to know this is me. This guy does not have a good reputation. This guy, it says, he loves to have the preeminence. That is so uncharacteristic of a Christian. Amen. That it should not even happen. He loves the preeminence. He loves to be the first one, the one above everybody else. Now, the problem with that also is that he loved it. You know, some people might have a place of preeminence. I think John probably had a place of preeminence in this instance. He was an apostle, probably the last surviving apostle at this time. And so he was in a prominent place. But the problem with Diotrephes is that he loved to have the preeminence. And you know, you gotta check your heart, check where you are, and see that you're not loving this place, this position, that's what you're seeking, that's what your heart desires. Because that is not of God. That's actually satanic. Amen. Satan is the one that said, I will lift myself up, I'm gonna go above I'm going to be the highest and I'm going to be like God. Satan's the one lifting himself up, wanting to be prominent and have the preeminence. But God, Christ, actually humbled himself and made himself a servant. So you got to be careful how you are and how your heart is. And if you want to know if you have a real servant attitude, a real serviceable heart about you, then maybe you just need to look at how you react when somebody actually treats you like a servant. We might not like it, but that's going to show whether you really have a servant heart. And, you know, hey, who's got to do this? Who's got to do that? And they're like, oh, I know who. That, hey, you do that. You know, we get all offended. Well, why didn't he ask somebody else? Why me? It's like, hey, do we seek the preeminence? You be careful with this example we have, because John tells us, don't follow that which is evil. This guy loved the preeminence. He's saying, don't be like him. And I don't know, I mean, John is sending a very encouraging letter to this man saying, hey, keep up the good work, completely stay focused on being hospitable to those that are preaching the gospel, and don't be like this other guy who's just wanting the preeminence and seeking always to have the first place. You know what? I truly do admire the elders here at this church for many, many years. They have always been just very humble and kind of almost, you know, exalting those that are out preaching the gospel to other nations. Not trying to lift themselves up saying, we're the real deal, we're the big shots. They actually lift up the other. I mean, I remember Brother Brian, he would take young people down to Mexico and lift up, you know, hey, this is a great thing to do, preaching the gospel freely. You know, this is an amazing thing to do. He never was walking around saying, look, I'm the pastor and I'm the one that should be looked at. The focus should be on me. No, that's that. And I really do admire the elders of this church who actually put great importance in sending the gospel out, getting the truth out. Because that shows you that that's not seeking preeminence. And I think this is what one of this guy's problem was. He's saying, this guy had a problem. This guy, had people that were coming that would preach the truth, and they might have been, you know, very strong characters. They might have had more knowledge than him, and so he wasn't going to look good or something, but he could not stand having those guys around. And so he got rid of them all. He gives us four things about this. And remember, there is a reason to stay back or to maybe withhold certain, you know, people that come, and that is what we saw in second John, and that is for if they're false prophets, if they're not following the truth, if they don't have the doctrine of Christ. We can read that real quick. It's there in the second epistle of John. It says in verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So this man was probably very much a manipulator and probably was trying to say that he was doing it all under good intentions. Oh, no, we just can't have them. And he was somehow in a place of prominence among this church that he had the power to do these things. But John gives us four things that this man did, and obviously he's telling us, don't follow that. Don't follow that which is evil. He was a slanderer. He says, prating against us with malicious words. This is this man that is seeking the preeminence, and he's actually slandering John, who's a preacher of the truth, and those that John is commending and sending and actually voicing for, he's slandering them. He's speaking evil, malicious words. Man, that sounds bad. He's speaking evil of them. And you got to be careful, because you can get into a spot where you're just starting to destroy people's trust in others. Which is what we do when we slander somebody instead of going to them and talking about them. Talking about that situation. Maybe you have something that you don't like that somebody else said or somebody did. Well, why don't you go to them and talk to them about it and see if everything lines up. But when we start saying, oh, you know, let me tell you what they did over here. That actually creates destruction in your heart towards that other person. And that's what his purpose was, because he loved the preeminence, so he would badmouth these people over here so that they would stop trusting them, so that then all they had to go to is, you have me. For you to elevate yourself, you should not have to slander other people. This man, instead of just living a life that was exemplary and people noticing how exemplary he was and then following him because of that example, like it's supposed to be, we see in Hebrews chapter 13, he was slandering men so that they had nowhere else to go but to him. And that's not how you build your ministry. That's not how you move up. By pulling everybody else down, pushing them down, shoving them off. Amen. That means we got to also be careful what we hear. Don't believe everything you hear about somebody else. Amen. I mean, this guy was speaking bad, malicious things about the apostle, John. And I bet a lot of people were hurt by that. Now, don't be surprised. People are going to talk bad about you, right? I mean, Jesus is, you know, people spoke bad about Jesus. Jesus is like, hey, what are you, you know, y'all aren't even the master. Y'all are the ones sinning. So they're going to speak evil of y'all too. They're going to do the same thing to y'all. So we can't control it all, but all you can control is what you hear. You know, the preachers, you can't control what everybody else says. But the only thing you can control is what you hear. You can say, hey, stop talking to me about that brother. Stop talking so bad about that other person because you're affecting my mind. And I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to think bad about them. You have a problem with that man? Go talk to him. Stop talking to me about it because it's affecting me. It's infecting me. So be careful with your slander. This guy was a slanderer. Also, it says, he says it wasn't enough that he just slandered. He wasn't content with that. Neither does he himself receive the brethren. He was not hospitable. These were men that were preaching the gospel freely without taking anything from the Gentiles. And they would go to this city, they would go to this church, and he was saying, nope, you ain't staying with me, I ain't taking you. He would reject them. He was a rejecter. Not only would he reject them, he didn't receive them, but he forbade them that would take them. He would restrain those people that were willing, that would say, oh, yeah, we'll take you at our house. We'll give you a place to lodge. We'll give you a place to rest. We'll give you something. We'll give you some food. And he would restrain them. No, you can't do that. You can't take them in. Then you have people that were taking people in and saying, hey, you know, y'all are preaching the truth. Maybe like this man Gaius, y'all are preaching the truth. I'll take you in. And then he would actually kick them out of the church, he says, and casteth them out of the church because they were being hospitable to these people that were preaching the gospel. What a bad name, right? What a bad name he has. I don't think I know anybody named. There's a reason for that. So this guy is a slanderer. He's a rejecter. He's a restrainer, a disposer. He was a control freak, right? He was manipulating and he forced his way up to have that place of preeminence. And he says, you don't want to follow that which is evil in verse 11. Follow that which is good. Amen. Follow that which is good. That's a good life principle. You know, live that way. Follow that which is good. Yes. There's going to be bad people. There's going to be bad examples. There's going to be bad things all around. Don't follow that. Just say, no, I'm not going to follow that. But there's going to be some good examples. There's going to be some good things. You can find some good things from people. Follow that. Just apply that. Follow it. Now then he mentions another person, and this is Demetrius. So we've got Gaius who does and is very hospitable. We have Diotrephes that is not hospitable. He just loves the preeminence. He's all about himself. Hospitality is about others, thinking about others, taking care of others. Diotrephes only thinks about himself. And then we have, in verse 12, Demetrius. And it says, Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. So he says, this man, that has a good report of all and of the truth. So he's a follower of truth. He's one of these men that I was telling you about, right? If they're a follower of truth, lodge them, take care of them, help them out. Now, I don't know if Demetrius, it doesn't say if he was like maybe the one that was carrying the letter, taking it to Gaius, like Paul does many times, you know, here, receive this man. He's coming to you, and that's what I think. This man is probably a preacher, an evangelist, and what John is telling him is, hey, keep going, doing that good work. Keep providing for these men that are about the truth, and here's one. This man is about the truth, so take care of him. But I don't know really who this Demetrius is. He might have been another leader in the church, you know? And he says, hey, we have this guy that seeks the preeminence, Diotrephes. Don't follow his example. But you have another guy in the church that is a good example. Follow him, Demetrius. Maybe that's, I don't know. Or maybe this Demetrius is somebody who was kicked out because, you know, is one of those guys that this Diotrephes cast out. And he's saying, hey, this guy's a good brother. Why don't you receive him back in? Bring him back to the church. I don't know who this is, but I like to think that he's probably one that is taking the letter, and he's asking him to receive him like he has received these other people. And that's how then he finishes it out. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Greet the friends by name. Again, a very personal letter from John to this man named Gaius. And I think it's a very interesting letter. And it does revolve around hospitality, love, caring, providing for those that are in the truth and that are spreading the truth. And this is one of the fundamentals that we have about our position here in this church of getting the gospel out. It's going to require us to back them. It's going to require people to take care of them, to provide, to be hospitable and to take care of their necessities. And so if somebody's preaching the truth, let's back them. Let's do whatever it takes. Let's get behind that, because that's well worth doing. Amen. So that is the third epistle of John. Amen.